Welcome to the Invisible Capital Podcast with PitchBook, where we shine a light on the traditionally opaque private markets. Here are your hosts, Adley Bowden and Adam Lewis.
Welcome, everyone, to the Invisible Capital Podcast. We're devoting season one to examining the private markets by discussing the work of PitchBook analysts and writers during the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm Adam Lewis, a private equity reporter for the PitchBook newsletter, and I'll be joined today by Adley Bowden, our head of editorial and our institutional research group, along with private equity and venture capitalist reporter Eliza Haverstock. Eliza, welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited to be here.
And I know that you're a bear enthusiast. I just want to give us some background on your interest in, wildlife, because it is a topic that comes up often, not maybe in your reporting, but a little bit about you.
Yeah. It's pretty much the only facet of my personality is that I'm a bear enthusiast. I road tripped out to Seattle with one of my friends, and we stayed in a bunch of national parks, including Yellowstone, during which a bear pretty much circled our tent, we think. So ever since, I've respected and feared bears. So
nice. Well, we're glad you made it to Seattle. And as much as we'd like to discuss bears for the duration of this podcast, we have brought you on today to talk about your recent story, Narrative Change. VCs are finally ready to talk about menopause. I'm just curious, like, why you were interested in that arena, and I guess kind of what drove your coverage.
Well, so I had originally just thought about covering this after, I had visited San Francisco in January and just talked to a lot of investors there just to kind of understand what they're paying attention to. And this one investor at NEA had mentioned menopause is this hugely underfunded area because there's all these, fertility, parenting, startups, ones about like period tracking, et cetera. But there's nothing really on menopause, which is pretty much every woman experiences it, unlike parenting or fertility journeys. And I think a lot of that's related to the stigma around menopause. And so that's extended to investors and people paying attention to it as an industry. I'm happy with how the story turned out. I was able to talk to a lot of interesting, female founders and investors. And PitchBook, has a lot of really great data on female founders and female investors, which are a very small minority, compared to men. So, I think it's important that we cover that area, and I'm, planning to do it more.
For those who haven't read the story, what were some of the main takeaways you got, either you came through the story or that you had to leave on the cutting room floor and plan to follow up on?
I kind of explored the menopause tech space, startups, who offer different solutions, telemedicine with OBGYNs or different, wellness plans related to menopause, because it's such an area that's stigmatized. A lot of women who start menopause, don't know what's happening to their bodies. They don't want to talk about it. So a lot of it's just these startups are trying to reduce the stigma, get people talking, and then provide women with really tangible health solutions. And I think one of the takeaways is that, very few of them have been funded as a percentage of femtech overall. Only two or three that I found had institutional dollars from, major firms. And that there's a lot of different solutions out there that are being thrown out. Like there's some companies that, offer delivery of products, hygiene products, et cetera, but there's not really an all-encompassing platform, which a lot of investors I talk to are looking for. They're looking for that platform that solves all of people's concerns around menopause. So there's tons of opportunity. So, I say if there's any founders who want to get into femtech or, mental health, I think menopause is a great place to look.
Is the fact that the space is so dominated, venture capital in general is so dominated by white males, do you think that has kind of hurt, I guess, the overall either number of investments or how much money they're getting in the femtech space? Because it's not something that a guy would, I guess, typically think about during his day-to-day.
Yeah, no, that's a huge part of it. That's a good question. Because most VCs are men and they tend to be younger men, that's a huge issue. And a lot of them haven't seen it or dealt with it, besides maybe their moms have gone through menopause. Whereas, parenting, fertility, a lot of young men are trying to be dads, they're married, they're parents. So that's more visible in their lives, but something like menopause is even further removed. So yeah, that's definitely an issue that I think all investors, even men, are starting to understand the market opportunity there now.
Yeah. Adley and I, every once in a while, will reference the show Billions just because it has so much overlap with like what we cover in private equity and venture capital. And in this week's episode, there was one of the segments of the hedge fund is starting an impact fund, and they hire a new associate who like is all about femtech and investing in it was like exactly what your article was about.
So, yeah.
Just found that, you know, interesting.
That's funny.
Seeing the parallel between, you know, what we're talking about and kind of what's out there right now. So
definitely there's the people get confused between menstruation and menopause. I mean,
yes. We get confused about a lot of things. But
they both start with M, but you know, it went out in our email subject line. So hopefully people are catching on.
Maybe just an app to explain the differences to guys.
Yeah.
Could really take off.
Has there been an awareness change as you talk to founders and investors? They feel maybe even now with the pandemic and the move to telehealth that something is changing, or that momentum has picked up behind femtech and some of the solutions that are being considered?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think femtech in general has picked up in the last few years, I've heard. And even menopause in probably the last like 6 months to a year, I think, has been gaining more interest. From before, pretty much I feel like it was at zero. And you know, a lot of these startups are telehealth. So, you know, one of them, Genève, for example, that I spoke to, they're actually based in Seattle. They pivoted their platform to also not just have OBGYN visits, but also telehealth visits, you know, for COVID. So they kind of were able to pivot in that way because they already have the platform built out. They have contracts and partnerships with different healthcare professionals. So yeah. And also stress is a huge factor in how bad your menopause symptoms are. You know, if you're under stress, they can be a lot worse. Hot flashes are worse, a lot of them. So menopause treatments are even more important right now because people are under stress from a lot of world events. So so yeah, I think this kind of moment is highlighting their importance.
Interesting. We've covered as well, you have female founders in general. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it came up in your discussions, but how are they handling the current pandemic? Is there anything kind of unique to female investors and founders in this moment? Or, you know, are they sort of in a similar boat as others?
Yeah, you know, on one hand, they're on this similar boat as others. You know, VCs kind of across the board, I think, since March have kind of doubled down on their current portfolio companies, making sure that they'll survive and be able to pivot before kind of pursuing new deals. So I think that's kind of a general trend, but I do think that female founders face acute obstacles. And I kind of did a story on this a while back because you know, how VC world works is it's very network-based. So, you know, investors work with people they already know, have worked with before, especially repeat founders, and repeat founders get a huge premium on their rounds, especially in the pre-seed, you know, even up to Series A, like those rounds are often larger and more competitive. So in times like now, where people are very uncertain and unsure where things are going, investors who are investing are working more with repeat founders, or they're putting a premium on working with repeat founders. And that's a disadvantage for women because most repeat founders tend to be male, because, you know, the startup VC world has typically been very dominated by white males. And even kind of just in recent years, there's been more women, female founders. So if that makes sense, it's kind of a reversion, I think, is kind of happening. So I do think investors need to be really conscious of balancing, being careful with who they choose to work with right now, these uncertain times, versus not taking a step backwards.
Yeah. And even though it had been moving the numbers overall in the right direction, you know, every time we've come out with a report, it feels like, you know, women are still so far like underrepresented in terms of like female founders that got, you know, money. It was like, it's been in the single digits for like the last, right? Am I wrong?
Oh yeah. It's still under
10%. It's like 4%. Yeah. It's like 4% or something. Mm-hmm. So definitely still a lot of work to be done there in that arena. But I hope that like, the fact that people are more aware of it now, you know, it'll slowly start to build in the right direction. Can you give us like, what are you working on next? Obviously so much going on right now in the world.
Yeah, I got a lot on my plate. you know, I've been trying to cover trends, especially related to startups where, you know, startups that are pivoting or trying to help people who are in disadvantage right now, startups that are, you know, offering free or discounted services to people who have been laid off, for example, during the pandemic, and, you know, what, why that's a smart business decision, because a lot of, while it seems generous and, you know, a lot of their reason for doing something like this is, you know, morally rooted, it's also a smart marketing decision. So I'm working on something like that. And then, you know, I'm also kind of interested in social media startups, you know, how they're pivoting and adapting and what opportunities lay there. Yeah, lots of things. I'm working on a story about dating apps, how they changed in the age of COVID. But yeah, I mean, this current moment is just changing everything, I think, in every industry, but, you know, especially the private markets where so much money is and where so many new ideas come from. So yeah, I don't think these are things that are just going to go away when there's a vaccine. I think that there's going to be permanent changes.
How are the dating apps pivoting? What have you found so far? As well, a married man, now I'm more.
Kind of rough out there, but there's a, so basically all of them now have integrated video dating features, which I think when the pandemic first hit, at least from various anecdotes I've heard, people were pretty, you know, wary of using, because it's kind of weird, like going on a video first date. But yeah. People have like actually started using it and like finding success. Like one of my close friends did a first time video date and now they're like actually dating, kind of virtually. So it's pretty interesting, you know, like, and use is up of dating apps, like significantly. You know, we talked to a few different of the major ones, but yeah, because people want connection. They feel very lonely right now, but it's at the same time, you can't really connect with people in real life. So it's like, how do you find that virtual connection? And then it'll be interesting to see when everyone can kind of start going out and about and how any of those relationships stay. But
yeah, excellent. Well, you'll have a good firsthand source with your best friend. You know, you can use a first person example of how it goes. So, well, we'll definitely look forward to that here in the next few weeks, I suppose. And thanks so much for joining us for today's episode.
Yeah,
very insightful.
Thanks for having me. It's my first podcast. Excited.
Awesome. Awesome. As always, you can go to pitchbook.com/podcast for the show notes and other relevant materials. I'm Adam Lewis.
And I'm Anley Bowden. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of PitchBook's Invisible Capital Podcast.